something a little different than we've done in the past. We're going to talk about dubious medical practices. And we'll start off with the Lyme's disease, because that's the field that you have recognized so many people who have encountered these types of individuals that say they're going to cure something, take their money, and then really are just hoaxers.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I've been in, I've run a Lyme disease support group for almost 20 years now, and a lot of these people are quite ill, and a lot of them are chronically ill, and a lot of them may not even have Lyme disease, but they have to go somewhere because they're just not getting the treatment that they need in the medical community. Well, this also makes them targets then if they're always sick for possible cures. And if they can't get something within the medical community, then they're willing to take risks and chances and go outside and get what I would call dubious medical treatments.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about these charlatans, and I want to just give a brief description of what a charlatan is. It's a person practicing quackery or some similar confidence trick in order to obtain money, fame, or other advantages via some form of pretense or deception. It comes from the French word of charlatan, a seller of medicines who might advise his presence with music or an outdoor stage show. Different types of dubious medical practices that are out there. Some people will say, well, why not try them? And everything else is failing. I'm sick. I need help. I'll pay it, you know, a few bucks in order to try something new. But some of them are not as innocent as others.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there's any stopping a person from seeking these things out. But I think a person has to use some sort of common sense and some sort of filter to really be able to say, well, this makes sense and I can try it. Also, you have to look at things like what are my potential costs and risks involved. Now, for instance, a patient just called me a couple days ago and said, well, my daughter had warts on her foot for 7 years, and somebody told me about this poultice to make out of a tincture of garlic and alcohol and some other things, and we did it and the warts went away within a week. Now, I believe that story, and I think that this is something that I could pass on to people, because what does it cost? You go to the grocery store, you get a few items, nobody's taking advantage of you. They're just passing on a home remedy that could work. There's a big difference between that and somebody making something in their basement like colloidal silver and trying to sell that to you and get you hooked on it for a month, a year, or 10 years. Because there are some risks involved, and also all the claims that they make just aren't true.
Well, and you were talking about folks that have taken this that have actually started to, their skin color has changed to a blue color.
Oh, yeah. One of the things when the human body has a very poor mechanism to get rid of heavy metals, whether it's iron or silver, mercury, it doesn't matter. Our body just is poorly equipped to get rid of these toxins. Well, when you take colloidal silver, this is a suspension of microscopic silver metal in distilled water, and you drink this every day, it has to accumulate somewhere. And one of the places that photograph, and that the skin will permanently be discolored grayish blue. And we actually have people here in Duluth that have this condition called argyria, which is from the ingestion of colloidal silver over many years, and that their skin has discolored to a bluish gray color.
Let's talk about some of the other things that folks from your group have come forward with, some of the medical practices that they've encountered or people they've encountered as far as some of the innocent ones. I see you have a list there. There's some that are not so bad, and then there's others like this one with the silver that's really, really terrible.
Well, what's really terrible about the silver is they make such audacious claims. They have references going back to the 1930s, and they say it kills 650 viruses and bacteria. It is the best sterilizing agent you can use. It kills funguses, and on. There's just nothing this can't do. Well, we did two things. First, I checked all the references. Having that kind of reference background, I checked all the references and I went back and I found everything was miscoded or misinterpreted and was basically lies that were being told to patients. But the next thing we did was I took over 24 of these colloidal silver preparations and I took him to a laboratory at St. Joseph's Hospital in South St. Paul, Minnesota, and we tried them in every possible combination, full strength, diluted, in culture, in anaerobic bacteria, aerobic bacteria. We tried gram-negative bacteria, gram-positive bacteria. We tried candida yeast, and not in any case was any of it effective. So they're making these huge claims so that you drink this stuff every day, and the bottom line is it doesn't work. So why would you put your body at risk to turn blue if in the laboratory we can't see any antimicrobial activity? And I have had many, many angry distributors call me up and say, oh, but our product is different. It won't turn you silver, and it works. I test their product only to find that they themselves believed in it and were just totally duped by what they had read and believed.
Well, and that's just it, too. I think that part of it is the people who are the charlatans actually may have been conned by someone else when they're out there selling this product.
Well, one of the problems is if they don't have a good science or research background, they don't investigate their own product. You can buy machines through different magazines to make colloidal silver, and they'll say, oh, make hundreds of dollars every week and so on. And the trouble is they don't necessarily put their products to the test. But I tested these products in every possible way against the Kirby Bauer method of bacterial resistance. We tested them against antibiotic paper strips. We tested them against antibiotics in liquid culture, in solid culture, and we just found across the board none of these products worked. And it didn't matter if it was 20 parts per million or 300 parts per million, they just didn't work.
Well, we have a caller here. We have Dan from Renshaw. Good morning, Dan. You have a question or comment for Tom here?
I remember seeing the guy's picture on TV from Florida, and he looked like a Smurf. He was that blue, and he had white hair, too, so really, it was incredible, you know, from the silver.
Yeah, have you ever seen the movie The Five People You Want to Meet in Heaven?
Uh-huh.
There's a character that actually, that looks like that. He's all turned blue, and it's amazing how people are able to sell these different products and get away with it.
I have a good friend, and she was taking it, and I told her that she's starting to look like the Tin Man, you know, the silver. And then she stopped taking it. But, you know, I think the great and powerful charlatans of our day are the pharmaceutical corporations and the medical systems that are profiteering off of people's health. I think that if we paid the doctors when people were well and then took the pay away from the medical systems when they're sick, we would see a change in the direction. I think there's profiteering off of illness and disease and cancer and all this other stuff. You know, if a placebo effect, or the 98% of the disease processes are created by the mind, therefore, if we look at the reason the mind is creating these, then we can change the disease process or at least prevent it, you know.
Yeah, I'll stop you there. I just wanted to comment. I do agree that we're in an awful fix right now with the way medical research is and the big pharma and their interaction. And I wish I had a way of correcting it, but I don't know what it is that we can do to totally correct this problem. But I will say there's a difference between medical, good sound medical research and what we're seeing taking advantage of sick and elderly patients like in our group over the last 20 years. Somebody has to start speaking out against this and doing it, because it is just an absolute crime what I'm seeing happening.
Well, I think there are two you know, people take advantage of people, and there's corporations that are doing, pharmaceutical corporations and whatnot, and then we have these charlatans. My personal opinion is when they want money for so-called healings, then the red flag goes up, because I don't think it's a righteous thing to take money.
Thanks for your call, Dan. We've got to take a break for our market watch at this time. This is Common Sense with Corinda Horton on 610 KDAL. This is Common Sense with Corinda Horton on 610 KDAL. The number here is 722-0839. Toll free 888-KDAL-610. We are sitting here talking with Tom Greer. Tom Greer is the executive director of MIB DEC, is that correct? A nonprofit that helps to educate doctors and patients that are suffering from tick-borne illnesses. But he also has had experience with a number of dubious claims that have come into his group over the past 20 years of people who have been told that they can get cured from different types of ailments that they have, and yet they're not really true. These are just ways for people to make money off of these folks. And if you're out there and you've experienced a dubious medical type thing where you've been taken advantage of, please don't hesitate to call in and share this with our listeners, because the only way that we're going to really fix this is for other people to know what's going on. Because otherwise you'll be out there, you'll think something's going to work, and you won't know that there's 100 other people out there that have been duped. And if the 100 people, at least one person calls in, we'll learn about it, and that way maybe we possibly won't be duped by this. So talking about one person in particular that had a really bad experience where they were used, their name was used, their photo wasn't used.
Well, one of the things is, what do you believe? What do you believe when you read on the internet and what's in front of you? And all of us have received like glossy brochures in the mail that say, oh, try this product, it's good for your joints and so on. And then they'll have a picture of a doctor somewhere saying, I invented this product so that my patients would have better freedom from their arthritis and so on. Well, one of my mentors at the medical school is Dr. Arthur Johnson, and he was a professor there, recently retired, and he went through this nightmare where they were sending out these glossy brochures selling a product from Canada called Cartilage 2, and that this was supposed to be for joint relief. And they cited all kinds of research that Dr. Johnson had done at the University of Minnesota, which just wasn't true. The quotes weren't true. The research wasn't true. He had no connection to this company. And everything he did to get his name off of this and disassociated with it, just nothing happened. The University of Minnesota lawyers went to work and they said, we have a real problem here. This is based in Canada. We can't do a lot. And so basically the only thing that happened was they kept using his name and credentials, but they said this person was now in California and not from the University of Minnesota. And so it's very, very frustrating. So the only thing that really helped was I wrote an article that got out on the internet and some newsletters and such that basically told his story so he could show people, no, I'm not associated with this. Because secretaries at the university were coming up to him and saying, oh, I bought this product because you believe in it and you were part of this. And he says, no, I'm not.
That is probably has to be the worst identity theft that I've heard of. I mean, you hear about people who have had their identities stolen, but for somebody to actually use it to claim medical advances and actually use a doctor and not be true, that's terrible.
And it's not uncommon. I mean, just this morning, okay, I uncovered this on a website. There was a photo of a Dr. Merle Goldstein from Chicago, Illinois, showing that she had a breakthrough cure for migraines. But then the same company has many, many websites for many, many different diseases like diabetes, migraine, cancer, and so on. There was her same picture on the cancer website, only now her name was Carolyn Jennings.
Oh.
So amazingly now, she's Carolyn Jennings from Los Angeles, California, instead of Chicago, Illinois.
So this may just be a model that posed for a photo, and just like those photos you get when you go and buy frames.
Absolutely. Also, they make up their own medical references. Like they say, this is FDA approved. But if you read in the fine print, this was not the Federal Drug Administration, but they had referred to Fighting Disease Association.
Oh, no.
And the only place you could find Fighting Disease Association were on these 7 websites that this company owned that was selling these fake cures.
Wow, the fact that they're able to get away with this type of behavior. This has been going on for hundreds of years.
I think we've seen it in all kinds of old magazines. You know, you look through the back, you see ads for belts that'll shock you and cure you and things like that. The only thing is that the internet has brought it to everybody's doorstep, And, you know, Michael Crichton, before he died, he said the internet has turned into the biggest and the worst shopping mall on the planet.
Oh, isn't that true? And the fact that people have to sift through the information and try to figure out what's true and what's not true, that's the difficult part.
Oh, yeah.
And how do we know? I mean, if there may be, like you said, the homeopathic type of medicine, things that people knew from decades ago that actually will work now, and that you'll read on the internet and you'll hear from people, and that will solve your basic medical needs. How do we know what's true and what's not true?
That is really, really hard, because not every alternative medicine is bad. Some of them probably do work. I read a book on folk medicine that when in the old days when women were tired, you would take a iron nail, stick it in an apple, let it sit for 3 days, pull the nail out and eat the apple, and it would give you 75 milligrams of iron. Oh, and this was their way of getting iron in their diet. And it actually works.
Wow. This is Common Sense with Corinne Horton on 610 KDAL. We're going to take a break for the news at this time. We'll come back and visit with Tom Greer. This is Common Sense with Corinne Horton on 610 KDAL. This is Common Sense with Corinda Horton on 610 KDAL. The number here is 722-0839, toll-free 888-KDAL-610. We are here visiting with Tom Greer. Today he is talking about the dubious medical problems that we have out there. Folks are being conned into different types of things. They think they're going to get fixed and cured, and what they get is a little less money and possibly some side effects.
It's always possible. I mean, any medical treatment that's going to be effective is going to affect different people in a different way. And so there's bound to be side effects. And one of the signs of quackery or a scam is when they say no side effects. No side effects ever in anybody, anytime. And it just isn't true. And we've certainly seen side effects in even some of the most mild of remedies and such. That's not to say all remedies are bad. Many of them are probably good, but it's how do you sort out the scams and the cons from the good things. The very first thing that I came across, this would have been 1995, I think, was a chronically ill patient that was in our group, was college educated. He had 4 years of college and 6 years of physical therapy training. He was a physical therapist. And we deduced that part of his problem was he went to a vegetarian diet and he got gout, and that was no big deal. But what the problem was he said, yes, and I have Lyme disease in my liver. And I said, well, that's pretty specific. How do you know it's in your liver? And he says, yes, it's in my liver and my spleen. And I said, but how do you know that? And he says, oh, I've got really good proof. I saw it on the computer. And I go, well, how can you see it on the computer? And he said, well, I went to this guy. He had an ad at the Whole Food Co-op, and I went to his hotel room, and he put a probe over my body, and the computer screen showed an outline of a body, and he told me everything that was going on and what was wrong. And he said, yes, I had Lyme disease like I knew I did, but he said it was right there in my liver, and I had to be on a liver detoxification diet, which he offered me. And I said, well, this seems kind of unbelievable. I mean, did you question this at all? And he said, no, it was right there on the computer. It had to be true. Well, many, many of these computers have been seized by the FTC. And what they turn out to be is a very simple computer, like an old 286 processor, that's been pre-programmed in to tell the patient whatever it is that this guy wants to tell the patient. He can highlight the neck and say you've had neck problems. He can highlight different areas of the body and say that you've had problems. And if he knows anything about the patient at all from a history or a physical, he can program that stuff in ahead of time to say, yes, you have neck problems. Yes, you have heart problems or so on. But then where the con comes in, all of this is free up to this point. And that's another sign of dubious medicine, is everything is free on the first level. And the first level is usually the diagnosis. But then comes the treatment. And he says, well, you need to be treated on a very specific diet, and you need to be on cow colostrum and transfer factor, and I have some magnetic therapy and various other things. And eventually they get the patient to spend money. And that's part of the confidence game. They find the susceptible patients, they get them up to the first level, and then they see how far they can take them. And the higher up they can take them in their confidence, the more money they can charge for what they're going to do.
Well, and Dan was talking about the placebo effect, and how does that play into this whole idea that I'm going to get better if I just try this thing that this person's telling me to try?
Well, most of these practitioners are very charismatic. They have just an incredible positive energy, and you come in and they love bomb you, and they just say, oh, and we're going to get this, and don't you want to get this? And they get you in this positive rah-rah spirit. And if you adopt any kind of negative attitude, they might, you know, pass on you and go to the next customer, or they might say, oh, if this doesn't work, it's because of negative feelings. We want positive energy out there, and so on. But basically what the placebo effect is that if you believe it's going to work, you're going to see some sort of positive benefit. And most people want to be positive. They want to say, yes, I'm going to beat this. I've seen people on their deathbed with ALS saying, I'm going to beat this. I'm going to walk again. I'm going to be out there. And that's great, but it's not always the answer.
Well, and there's probably that piece where, yes, you do want to have that positive piece, because that does seem to cure people in many ways, because your own body takes over and the immune system gets in there and starts kicking in.
Sure, I believe that. I believe that. I think the placebo effect is a very big part of what's going on when patients self-treat and self-medicate.
But the hard part is that some of these folks lose a lot. They can lose a lot of money. And you have an example of a woman that lost almost $5,000 in one of these types of scams.
Well, she lost more than that. It was really a terrible tragedy. A patient came to group and she brought a videotape of her blood. And this is what I call the magic microscope scan. She went to a practitioner in Ontario that had a dark field microscope. And to the casual observer, this seems like right out of Star Trek. I mean, it's really big and fancy. And they can take a drop of your blood, put it on a slide, and look at it right there in front of you, and look at all your red blood cells, your white blood cells, and take a tour through your bloodstream. Well, on the videotape, and everything's in black and white. It's very high contrast. And on her blood, you could see hundreds of little tiny microscopic creatures just swimming all over the place. And I said, well, this isn't normal. This isn't human blood. And she says, I know. You know, you can see the Lyme disease right there. And I go, well, Paula, this isn't Lyme. I don't know what this is, but this is something else. And she said, oh, no, and I know it's on the up and up because it was all free. And I go, okay, well, that's good. And as we go through the tape, I noticed that there was a white blood cell. And this granulocyte, I noticed that the microorganisms had only gone in under the membrane. They hadn't been phagocytized and gone into the interior of this white blood cell. And if this was a chronic infection, she should have these little organisms deep inside these white blood cells in a vacuole where the lysosomes can kill it, but none of them were. This was an indication that this infection was introduced to her blood within the last minute or two. Okay, this was not a chronic infection that she had for years. This was something that they had added to her slide. Well, it turns out the scam goes like this. Right in front of you, they prick your finger, put a drop of blood on a slide, and then they bring the lens down into your blood. But on the tip of that lens is a contaminated drop of water from like swamp. So they drop this swamp water into your blood, and you have all these creatures running around, and they show these patients, and they get terrified. And you can imagine she has no background whatsoever. She can't tell it's a scam. And then they tell her exactly what she wants to hear. Oh, you need to be on antibiotics. And then she says, oh, I've been on antibiotics. I've been on antibiotics for years. They already know this. They took a history before she ever went to Canada. They know everything about her. And they say, well, you have an incurable form of this disease, and the only thing that's going to help you is cow colostrum, and that'll be $400 a month. And I said, well, Paula, you didn't do this. And she said, well, actually, I did. And because they said I needed a year's treatment, I borrowed $5,000 from my friend because I didn't have even $400. And so I said, so they gave you a year's worth of treatment that you have in your refrigerator right now. You paid $5,000. And I told her the whole thing was a scam. She tried to get her money back. I wrote a letter. She called them up. I called them up. And within a week, they were gone, totally gone, picked up and moved, and were in another town doing the same scam. So it was impossible to do anything. Well, she continued to be sick and not get her treatment through any avenue successfully, whether it was the medical community or alternative medicine, and eventually she killed herself. Mm. And so I think a large part of her distress was being taken advantage of for all those years, and then it just dawned on her that she doesn't have the wherewithal to sort these things out.
Well, in talking about that, she had to struggle with the medical community. She had to struggle with not finding a cure or any of these types of things. And then on top of that, being scammed by this outfit out of Canada. How do we as patients, people who are sick, their mind isn't quite there because they're physically ill, how do they figure out how to deal with these types of things? And where do they find their cures?
Oh, it is so hard. In this case, this particular patient was almost totally incoherent because she had an infection of the brain. And when she had finished up several months of antibiotics, she was very cogent and focused and not slurring her words, and everybody thought she was great. So the only time she was ever better consciously was when she was on antibiotics. When she went off the antibiotics, she eventually became kind of paranoid and such, and a great mistrust for the medical system. And a lot of people that seek out these treatments have a tremendous mistrust of the medical system. How do you sort all of this out? Well, the one thing is go to some of these websites that are for fraud and medical quackery. I'm going to list these on our website. There's 17 links that we have, like the American Council on Science and Health, the Anti-Quackery Web Ring, which is a ring of sites that combat and debunk health-related frauds, and many, many others. And that'll help you if you go to some of these sites and kind of sort through these things. But after a while, after you see a dozen of these fakeries and cons, you kind of get a feeling for what's real and what isn't. But for the uninitiated patient, it's one of the hardest things there is.
And if you've had an experience where you have been taken advantage of, or you know a friend that has been taken advantage of, please give us a call so that we can get that information out into the community. That's really the only way that we're going to be able to stop these folks that come in and have these big con scams. Some of it, if you have to sort through it, you have to figure out, use your common sense. That's the big piece. Does this seem like it's legitimate? Does this person have the background, the information? Are they represented by an organization that will actually be around the next day, or are they going to pick up their suitcase and leave to the next town?
Exactly.
We have got to take a break here in just a couple minutes for our market watch, which we missed at the 20 hour. For some reason, it wasn't there, but we know we've been promised that it'll be in the system this time. But Tom Greer, tell us, your website now is MIBDEC.org, and since that's an acronym, it's tough to remember those letters there. You can also Google Tom Greer and Lyme's disease, and then eventually you'll be getting that. And this website is just now being put together, and it's going to have a recorded version of this show. I know I had a call yesterday from a woman who wanted to know if we recorded the show. We don't. This is a live show, but Tom has in studio his webmaster recording the show so that it will be available probably in the next week or so. So yes, People can listen to this on your website, MIBDEC.org. So Tom, what can we tell the folks out there that are struggling, and what should they do?
Well, first of all, use some common sense. Be wary of any website or person who's saying that it's free and uses things like miraculous or miraculous cure or instant results, no side effects. Those should all be red flags that go up. Try to find out other people who have been to these folks and find out if everything is free or if down the road you have to pay, and what is it that you're paying for. Now, some people are much more suggestible. I don't want to make any enemies here, but I know suggestible people that I work with every day, and they do a lot of these, what I would call dubious practices, every month, and they seem to be fine with it. They spend their $50 and they're happy with what they're doing, and it's a free country, and I'm not going to stop them. but I am going to give my opinion, and especially if they ask for it.
Well, and that's just it. And we're talking about charlatans. We're talking about people who actually are going out there. They're selling you something. They know that it's not true. Now, there are people that are charlatans that actually believe in their product so much that they, too, have been conned.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think there's many examples of that. And they're the best salesmen. We had this lady who just...
We're going to have to wait on that lady because we're going to take a break for our Market Watch. This is Common Sense with Corinda Horton on 610. This is Common Sense with Corinda Horton on 610 KDAL. We're talking about the snake oil tonics, the types of folks out there that are selling you different types of potions and lotions to cure all your ailments, and they're going to take your cash. Dubious medical practices. Tom Greer is our guest, and we're just talking about the fact that over the 20 years that you've been with the Lyme Support Group, you have seen a number, many, that have been taken advantage of.
Oh, absolutely, and you kind of see a cyclic nature of things that go around. Like 20 years ago, there was this thing called kombucha tea or Manchurian tea, and it wasn't something that really concerned me. If people thought it was helping and they wanted to make it themselves, you know, big deal. It's a super sweet tea that you add brown sugar to, and it's actually made out of a fungus that you grow. And people, a lot of people, seemed that this was going to cure everything, but then 6 months later, you never heard about it, and it was gone. But then 5 years later, it comes back, and somebody's passing the mushroom around again. And, oh, here's a piece. Grow it yourself like yogurt or like sourdough starter.
And oat bran was big. That was big in the early 90s. And I'm sure many of these things are great because they're healthy, they're nutritious, anything like that. For example,
sure.
Oranges, you know, with vitamin C. And, I mean, there's some truth in some of this stuff.
Yeah, I think any good product has some grain of truth somewhere. It's just how far are practitioners willing to extrapolate that little piece of truth and extend it out and say, well, you know, if I got money for treating this person for arthritis, maybe it'll also treat diabetes and maybe it'll treat this. And pretty soon it's treating everybody. And sometimes you can find the same product if, you know, when you look up, say, diabetes and you see this treatment, you have no idea that that same treatment is on another website over here for migraine headache or cancer or something else. And what they've done is they've reached out to every vulnerable group out there and hoping that they get a few hits with what they have. And over the years, here's some things we've seen. Blue-green algae. My gosh, I thought this was going to cure everybody the way people were calling me up. I must have had 20 distributors in 1 week call me up for Klamath Lake blue-green algae and all these other things. Hydrogen peroxide, industrial strength hydrogen peroxide. It adds oxygen to your body and kills bacteria. Kombucha tea, magnetic therapy, colloidal silver, all kinds of things that have come and gone, and they've come and gone several times. So we keep seeing them come back.
Before the show, we were talking about an incident where somebody actually paid money from a phone, you know, over the phone with their Visa card, and then the person cured them by putting the phone on their body?
This is my favorite scam of all time. This is just, I wish I had thought of it. These people have a website, and it's a couple in Idaho, and you prick your own finger, put a drop of blood on a piece of paper, you lick the paper, you fold it up with a $50 bill, and you send it to them. Then they will analyze it with ultrasonic frequency and call you back and tell you it's wrong. Now, the great thing about this is they've never seen you. You've never seen them. They already know you're highly suggestible because you sent them $50. So now they want to take you to the next level. So they call you up and they say, we tested your blood and we're sorry to say, but you have an incurable form of staph infection. And they say, well, what can I do? They say, well, there's only one way we can treat this, and this is with frequency medicine. And we know the frequency of this bacteria, so we can send that frequency over the phone, and we can cure you. All you have to do is give us your Visa card. We're going to charge you $500, and you hold the phone on your head, and you slowly go down your body. And this is going to take several minutes because we want to do a good job, and we're going to completely cure you of this staph infection. Now, they've got your credit card. They've got your $50. You've never seen them. You've never met them. It's the greatest con I ever. I mean, I got to give these people credit.
Well, yeah, I almost feel like I'd like to do like Dateline, how they go out there and they investigate people. Wouldn't that be something to have them on our show and actually have them call in and tell us what a great cure this is? The only problem is I'm worried that there'd be people out there that actually would believe it because they'd hear it on the radio.
As I speak, I'm sure there's people out there that have had great success with this, because most doctors know that if you do nothing at all for illnesses, some of them are going to get better.
That's the key, too. The body actually has an opportunity to take care of itself.
Oh, yes.
And when listening to this, you know, I know there's people that are doctors. There are people in the medical field. And I have to wonder, okay, how many of those are charlatans as well?
Well, there's always that element in that. But I think most good doctors, they don't want people bringing their kids in for every sniffle and cold. Because how do you treat a virus? You send them home, tell them to drink orange juice, and it's going to go away on its own. But if you have something that's physical and diagnosable, then that's not where the doctor comes in.
Well, we really appreciate you coming in this hour, Tom. We've got to take a break for our news right now. This is Common Sense with Corinda Horton on 610 KDAL.